Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news, as usual, with a story entitled District 118 to Look at Adding DHS Classes by Carol Rome. Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board Tuesday night are expected to approve the descriptions for several new courses planned at Danville High School that would be offered starting with the 2019 to 2020 school year. Earlier this year, DHS staff completed a course sequence audit and recognized a need to increase opportunities for students to take courses that prepare them for post-secondary life. Curriculum Director Mary Ellen Bunton said the proposed classes aren't just for the college-bound students. They're really for any student, she said Monday. If you're going to do anything post-secondary, these classes will prepare them for a job or college. My favorite thing is there is something for every student, Bunton said. We wanted to give kids a variety and lots of choice with these classes. The three key areas that would be affected by the new curriculum are advanced placement, dual enrollment, and career and technical education. The newest AP class will be AP Environmental Science. The class will be in addition to the pre-AP pilot program that DHS has been selected to launch next year for freshmen and sophomores. DHS will be the first Illinois school south of Interstate 80 to pilot the program in which the underclassmen will be taught skills so they can take AP and dual enrollment classes, Bunton said. The students will experience the pace and rigor of a college class, but with the support of their high school teacher, she said. Students who try the more rigorous courses will be able to use the newly created AP and AVID, or Advanced Via Individual Determination, student lounge near the cafeteria during their lunch period. They can study with other kids in AP and AVID, Bunton said. It's a perk for taking those difficult classes. Under Career and Technical Education, or CTE, classes in Access, PowerPoint, Spreadsheets, and Geometry in Construction would be added. Students who take the CTE classes will have some skill sets that are attractive to employers, Bunton said, adding that the Geometry and Construction class will help students make the correlation between math and how it might be used in real-world applications. The new dual enrollment offerings would include Danville Area Community College Weight Training, DACC Fitness Center, DACC Microeconomics, DACC Macroeconomics, and DACC Statistics. Bunton said the district currently offers dual enrollment classes through DACC in English, Math, and Science. With the proposed new offerings, we're really increasing the dual enrollment opportunities, Bunton said, adding, we're fortunate to have DACC and the relationship that we have with them. Also on Tuesday, board members will review a first reading of updates to the Board of Education policy, consider amending the 2018-2019 traditional, balanced, and pre-kindergarten calendars, consider accepting the district's 2017-2018 audit, and consider approving a bid of $29,309 from Courtesy Auto Group to purchase a new three-quarter ton pickup truck, a 2018 Ford F-250 truck, for the district's maintenance department. Our next story is entitled December Tornadoes Reported in Illinois. And this is from the Associated Press. Taylorville. Central Illinois residents assessed the damage Monday after rare December tornadoes, including one that was a half mile wide and injured at least 20 people. The severe weather in Illinois was part of a line of thunderstorms that raked areas of the central U.S. late Friday and into Saturday, killing one person in Missouri. The National Weather Service confirmed tornadoes in Illinois, Missouri, and Oklahoma. At least three tornadoes were confirmed in northwest and southwest Arkansas, which largely caused property and structural damage. No injuries or fatalities were reported. Peak months for tornadoes in much of the Midwest are April and June, according to the Weather Service. But at least 23 tornado touchdowns on Saturday have been confirmed in Illinois, said Dan Smith, a meteorologist with the Weather Service's Lincoln, Illinois office. That was the most tornadoes in Illinois during a December storm since a December 18 to 19, 1957 outbreak produced 21, Smith said Monday afternoon. He said that that number may grow because crews continue surveying three other sites to determine if storm damage there was also caused by tornadoes. The Weather Service sent crews Sunday to survey the hardest-hit areas in Illinois, which included Taylorville, 25 miles southeast of Springfield. Preliminary estimates indicate that storm may have produced winds of up to 130 miles per hour. Photographs and video from Taylorville showed several houses flattened, with residents wading into debris to salvage what they could. Some homes remained standing, but with gaping holes in the roofs or with no roofs at all. The tornado was on the ground for around 10 miles before it thundered through Taylorville, and the Weather Service was able to warn residents of its arrival 41 minutes before it actually struck, Chris Miller, a meteorologist at the service's Lincoln office, said in a phone interview Sunday. That advanced warning gave people critical time to take cover and may have saved lives. Assistant Fire Chief Andy Goodall, speaking to reporters Saturday night, shortly after the storm pounded the city of 11,000, said at least 100 homes had major damage, including his own, Springfield's State Journal Register reported. A Taylorville Memorial Hospital spokesman said 21 people from age 9 to 97 arrived for treatment Saturday. Most were released within hours. Miller said three people remained hospitalized as of Sunday afternoon. Miller said preliminary estimates are that Taylorville tornado may have been an EF2, which indicates wind speeds as high as 135 miles per hour. It could take several more days to know for sure. The Weather Service said Sunday that a strong tornado that developed from severe thunderstorms Friday night touched down in Van Buren, Arkansas. It was rated an EF2. About 10 minutes later, a second weaker tornado was confirmed less than 10 miles or 16 kilometers away near the town of Rudy, Arkansas. Damage surveys for the two tornadoes are ongoing, but officials said dozens of homes were damaged. Early Saturday morning, a third tornado with estimated peak winds of 107 miles per hour traveled about 8.5 miles through Spring Hill in southwest Arkansas. Its path was intermittent and mostly caused damage to trees and to some structures. And jumping over to the local section of the News Gazette, we have a story related to the Danville City Council entitled New Property Tax Levy Creates Divide. Danville. As the Danville City Council approaches a December deadline to pass a new property tax levy, three Danville aldermen are lobbying for no increase, while Acting Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and others are pushing for a nearly 5% bump. Williams, a candidate for mayor, told aldermen last week that a property tax increase does not work in his favor politically. But he said he supports a 4.98% increase in the property tax levy to put more money toward police and fire pensions, prevent the city from falling farther behind on those obligations, and boost the city's reserves. Projections call for about $100,000 in general fund reserves at the end of the fiscal year in April for a city with a total operating budget of more than $50 million. Right now, we have no margin for error, said Williams, who estimates that a 4.98% levy increase would generate about $6.92 million in revenue for the city at a tax rate of $2.35 per $100 of assessed valuation. This year's rate was $2.24 per $100. That would cost the owner of a $50,000 home an additional $15.65 in property taxes, and the owner of a $250,000 home an additional $86. City officials are basing this scenario on an assumption that the city's equalized value will increase less than 1 percentage point, a conservative estimate that would soften the blow of a tax increase if the EAV grows more than expected. One of Williams' mayoral opponents, Alderman Steve Nichols of Ward 6, along with Steve Foster of Ward 7 and Dan Duncan of Ward 2, have argued for not increasing the levy over the previous year because it's not popular with residents in their wards. Nichols said he's worried about residents fleeing Danville's increasing property taxes by moving outside the city limits. My concern is the flight out of the city, and we have to fix that, he said. The city council is slated to vote on a property tax levy at 6 p.m. today. And this story was written by Tracy Crane. And that covers most of the front page stories from the commercial news and some from the News Gazette. So we're going to turn to obituaries now. And the first one we have is for Kenneth Grider. Kenneth L. Grider, 82, of Danville, passed away at 6:02 p.m., December 2, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of life service will be at 3 p.m. Thursday, December 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Ramey Gordon. Military rites will be performed by Post 210. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Per Kenneth's wishes, he will be cremated and there will be no burial. Juanita Rector. Juanita Acton Rector, affectionately known by her loving husband as Little Bird, departed for her journey to be with her husband of 68 years, Leo, and her son Carl at 3 p.m. Friday, November 30, 2018. A visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, December 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home, 710 North Neal Street, Champaign, Illinois. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, December 7th, at First Presbyterian Church in Champaign, and burial at Collison Cemetery in Collison, Illinois, with a casual luncheon in Collison immediately following interment. A heartfelt thanks goes to the wonderful caregivers at Autumn Fields Assisted Living in Savoy, Illinois, and the devoted staff at Carl Hospice. Memorial contributions may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, P.O. Box 50, Memphis, Tennessee, 38101-9929, or the First Presbyterian Church, 302 West Church Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820, or to Carl Hospice at 206 West Anthony Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61822. Gail Myrick. Gail D. Myrick, 75, of Fairmont, passed away at 1:48 p.m. Friday, November 30, 2018, at his home. Gail's expressed desire was for cremation with no formal services. Those wishes have been honored. Memorials in his memory to the Vance Township Library or Carl Hospice. The Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling arrangements. Elizabeth Marie Kirby Ferguson. Elizabeth Marie Kirby Ferguson, 29, of Rossville, passed away at 6 a.m. Wednesday, November 28, 2018, at St. Louis University Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. A celebration of Elizabeth's life will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, December 6, 2018, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston. She will be laid to rest following the services in Floral Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to Elizabeth's children to help with their college fund. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Elizabeth's life. Doreen Jones. Doreen Jones, 85, of Covington, Indiana, passed away December 1, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Doreen's life will be at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, December 5, at Sunset's Covington Chapel, 420 3rd Street, Covington, Indiana, 47932, with Pastor Bob Fairchild officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, December 4th, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Memorials can be made in her name to the American Heart Association. Richard E. Jones. Richard Dick E. Jones, 79, of Hoopston, passed away Saturday, December 1st, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Richard Dick E. Jones's life will be at 11 a.m. Friday, December 6th, at the Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston, with Pastor Tom Cece officiating. He will be laid to rest following the services in Floral Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday, December 5th, at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Dick's life. Kenneth E. Sly. Kenny E. Sly, 85, of Ridge Farm, passed away at 8:01 p.m. Saturday, December 1st, 2018, at his home. A celebration of Kenny's life will be at 2 p.m. Friday, December 7th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor Troy Horn officiating. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Thursday, December 6th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Crown Hill Cemetery, Ridge Farm, with military honors conducted by American Legion Dornblaster Post 203. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in his name to Ridge Farm Veterans Memorial. Harold Holy Cross. Harold Eugene Holy Cross, 90, of Westville, went to be with the Lord at 1:15 p.m. Saturday, December 1st, 2018, surrounded by his family at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Harold's life will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, December 6th, at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street, Westville, with Pastor Dave Garver officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to his service Thursday at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in his name to Shriners Children's Hospital. William Ralston. William Ralston, 69, of Danville, formerly of Windsor, died at 4:15 p.m. Friday, November 30th, 2018, at VA Eliana Healthcare System, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Dolores Ann Battle. Dolores Ann Battle, 59, of Champaign, formerly of Danville, died at 5:50 a.m. Thursday, November 29th, 2018, at Illini Heritage Nursing Home. Funeral services will be at noon Wednesday at Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. Pastor Ricky Hoskins will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Wednesday at the funeral home. And moving on to some area sports, we have an article in the Commercial News entitled "Losing Streak Snapped. Poise Execution Allows Danville to Beat Centennial" by Greg Flint. Danville. Two young teams faced each other when Danville hosted Champaign Centennial in a Big 12 Conference girls basketball game at Danville High. The Lady Vikings snapped a 5-game losing streak with a 51-48 win over the Chargers. Both squads struggled to find their offenses for most of the night, but the same could not be said about their defenses as the teams forced each other into numerous turnovers. Danville, 3-5, took an early 4-0 lead on a steal and layup by Nautica Conaway and a layup by Makala Gray. Champaign Centennial did not reach the scoreboard until the 3-minute 32-second mark of the first period, when it finally was able to get through the Vikings' defense for a layup. As the quarter progressed, so did the foul count, and Danville took advantage to open a 7-2 lead that, after a Charger basket, went to 10-4 on a 3-pointer from Gray off an assist from Aaron Hoped. In the waning moments of the period, the Chargers also got to the line, and it was 10-8 in favor of Danville after one quarter. "I thought we played with a lot of effort tonight," Danville coach Dimitri Hightower said. "We've worked on defense lately. We focus on it a lot every day, and it helped us tonight." The second period saw the fouling continue. There were a total of 23 called in the first half alone, and both teams were forced to substitute reserves for starters who were in foul trouble. Danville managed to open a 17-11 lead on a layup by Hoped off a pass from Gray with 3 minutes and 25 seconds left in the half, but Centennial had a late spurt and pulled within 1 at 19-18 by halftime. The Vikings made an early run as the third quarter started, as Conaway hit a basket off a pass from Gray, and then Conaway fed Destiny Davis for a layup, followed by a pair of free throws by Nariah Matcham for a 25-18 lead. The teams traded baskets, and unfortunately more fouls over the next few minutes with the Chargers, again making a run late in the period, including a game-tying 3-pointer at the horn for a 29-all score. The opening part of the fourth period saw both teams spend most of it as the foul count continued to climb at the free throw line. It would reach 26 for the half by the end of the game. Once again, the coaches went to their benches, but eventually they had to bring back their starters, and each squad had 2 players foul out. Champaign Centennial took their first lead of the game at 32-31 and again at 33-32 before Haupt hit a tray and the Chargers a pair of free throws to tie the game at 35-all with 5 minutes and 38 seconds left. Gray converted a 3-point play to break the tie, and then Haupt made a layup, but the Chargers would not go away, pulling within 2 at the midway point of the period. Things hit a lull as first Gray and then Yasmin Lewis fouled out for the Vikings. but the host still led 45-43 with a minute and 5 seconds to go. Things then got crazy as the Chargers had little choice but to press trying to get a steal, and they got a few, or fouling, in the hope of Danville would miss from the line. The Vikings hung on, making enough free throws to pull out the 51-48 win. "This was a great team win for us," Hightower said. "We fought to the end, and it got us a win." He said that earlier this year, his team had struggled to finish games, and that he had been preaching, "Compete to the end," and said that was exactly what his team did to pick up the win. Two takeaways from tonight were our effort, poise and execution at the end of the game, and our being competitive at the end. He concluded by saying, "I know I say competitive a lot, but with a young team, that's an important thing to become. You have to be competitive to get a win." And in news further up north in Illinois, we have a brief article from the Tribune News Service entitled, "Boy Learns Tongues Do Freeze to Poles." Sandwich. An 11-year-old sandwich boy learned the hard way that, yes, your tongue will stick to a frozen metal pole. Spencer Klein and his 12-year-old friend Cole Leeper headed to a sled hill around 5 p.m. near their home Tuesday, wanting to enjoy the snow from the recent record-setting storm. After sledding, the boys came across a pole along a fence. What happened next mirrored the infamous scene from the popular film A Christmas Story, in which a boy is dared to put his tongue on a frozen pole and it sticks. In Spencer's case, there was no dare. He has seen the movie, but he didn't think his tongue would actually stick, he said. "I was just tempted to. I've seen the movie A Christmas Story, which kind of inspired me." He approached the pole and asked Cole if he thought it would actually stick. Then Spencer went ahead and did it. His tongue froze to the pole immediately. Surprise, then fear, kicked in. "Cole thought at first I was messing with him," Spencer told the Beacon News of Aurora. "I told him, no, it's really stuck. But he at first couldn't understand what I was saying." Cole, as any friend would, ran to the nearest house and asked a woman if she had hot water for his friend's tongue. She said she didn't have any hot water, and I said, "Well, you're going to have to call an ambulance then," Cole said. Spencer was able to pull his tongue off by the time Sandwich Emergency Medical Service crews arrived. He estimated he was stuck for about 7 minutes. "I was trying to get it off, but I wasn't pulling," Spencer said. "I was being gentle and freaking out. Some of my taste buds came off onto the pole." Sandwich Deputy Fire Chief Nathan King said the department had never responded to a call like that before. "Every crew member there was reminded of the movie and laughed at that scene," King said. King said that if Spencer's tongue was still stuck, crews would have placed a hot pack on the pole to try and warm up the area and use lukewarm water to remove it. Spencer's father, T.J. Klein, said that he was on his way home from work when he got a call from Spencer saying he was in an ambulance, but he was fine. "Of course, being a parent, you automatically assume the worst, so I was flying to get to where he was," Klein said. "I wasn't sure if he had fallen or bit his tongue." And lastly, we have this from the community briefs from the Commercial News. Danville Library lists activities. The Danville Public Library invites teenagers ages 12 to 18 to meet for a sweet escape, complete a fun writing activity, and make chocolate reindeer donut snacks in the first floor meeting room at 5 p.m. Wednesday. From 6 to 7 p.m. Thursday, the library plans tween gaming for children ages 8 to 11 to gather together in the children's program room. And that concludes our reading of the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. My name is Greg, and it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope to do so again soon. Have a great day.